A specific question was asked, but I think it touches on a more general topic, so I'd rather discuss the more general topic and then come back to the specific question. I think the more general topic, which is really an important topic, is how do we view the different responsibilities between men and women? How do we view women's role in Judaism? I think this is an area where, unfortunately, there's been a lot of confusion, so it's worth taking a few minutes to explore the halachic stance towards women. It's been heavily misrepresented, unfortunately, and so it's good that we should take a few minutes to understand it. The Torah presents creation as a partnership, men, women, that together they are men. A human being is a fusion of a man and a woman. And so the Talmud tells us that a man without his wife is not even a man. He's not considered a human, an Adam. A person can attain their potential only through marriage. There's a partnership that's supposed to play itself out. Women play an integral role in that partnership. And whenever there's a partnership, so different people have different roles, responsibilities, strengths, within every partnership. To look at a partnership and say, we both have to do the exact same thing. Well, then what do we need one another for? Obviously, if we partnered up, then we have strengths that we each have to take from one another. It is a mistake to look down at a woman. It's not true factually. It's not true from a Torah perspective either. The halacha says that a husband's job, mechabda yoser megufo, is to honor his wife more than he honors himself. So, first of all, we have to understand that when we say differences, we're not just whitewashing the concepts. We're not just using politically correct terms. You know, the woman, you know, the Arab, the joke why he lets his wife walk first, because he's walking through a minefield. But that's not what we're saying here. No, I'm saying we do have it's not a joke. We're not whitewashing the terms when we say to honor and respect, and we'll bring many examples to show that the fact that kol kvuda bat melech pnima, that we view a woman as one who is like a princess. And therefore, part of what the halacha expects of her is a certain level of modesty, that a woman is cherished, and as such, we don't expect her to flaunt her beauty. So that's, again, that's not something that's derogatory, but on the contrary, it's because the halacha expected us to cherish them and value them, and using terms that are relevant to most of you guys here, even in the dating scene, chase after them, shouldn't be haunting the girl and running after, but yes, in a figurative sense, where the halacha always expected the man to give her his wife or the girl that he's dating that cherished feeling that she's someone of value that he is pursuing, and this is relevant to pre-marriage and post-marriage as well. So there is this duality, there is this partnership within their relationship where there are different roles that the husband and wife play. An interesting example of this would be if the husband, let's say, is working out of the house to make a living and the wife is bringing up the kids at home. So some people might say, she's taking care of the kids so I could go out to work. And we would say the exact opposite. You're going out to work so she can take care of the kids. So you could take the same scene and present it one way or the other way. And who's servicing whom? Is she servicing me or am I servicing her? I'm servicing her. You know, she's not the, it's very nice, but she's doing the main job, the main role we have, the building of the home. She is the ikar habayit, she is the essence of the home. So we have different roles we're supposed to play. Some like to call it sar hapnim, sar hachutz, minister of the interior, minister of the exterior. But it's not so simple. We find that Avram and Sarah, so Sarah was greater than Avram in prophecy. We know of Avram's 10 tests, but we see that Sarah got more difficult tests than Avram did. When Avram gets his wife abducted, who's that wife that's getting abducted? You know, we always talk about Avram's 10 tests. Sarah had her tests, which were harder. You see, Sarah dropped dead by Vakeid. Avram doesn't drop dead, so he has to bury her. I'm saying within this relationship between Avram and Sarah, if we'll take that, so then you see that Sarah was a giant. We find that Hashem tells Avram when it comes to knowing who to bring into the home and who not, listen to Sarah. So it's not a question of who's greater. There are many areas where the halacha or Jewish thought expects the man to defer to his wife. That's not the question at play. You find Avram was supposed to defer to his wife about the chinuch questions. The Talmud tells us that if you have guests and your wife says, that guy's a bum, don't bring him around, listen to her. The Gemara says, Isha Makeris Be'orchim, a wife knows how to tell among the guests who's big and who's not. The famous story of Elisha who used to visit with his lad to the Shunammite's house, and she says to her husband, Hineina yadati ki ish Elokim kadoshu, I know the man of God is holy, let's set him up a special room so whenever he comes, whenever he's in town, he'll have his place to stay. And Chazal say she was very careful the way she worded it. Everyone thought the man of God is holy, and his servant's a holy man too. Gehazi, he must be a holy man if he's right next to Elisha. Chazal say she knew better. She said, "Ish Elokim kadosh hu, he is holy. That servant, you keep an eye on him. Be careful, don't let him be around the house alone with me. He's not so holy." And she was right. The Talmud said he handled her improperly. He touched her improperly. The Talmud says he was really, we find later on, that he was cursed by Elisha. He was Elisha's right-hand man, right? But she was able to discern what everyone else wasn't able to discern. So Chazal say a woman has a sharper eye than a man when it comes to understanding the guests. There are many areas where they have strengths that we don't have. And as such, we're supposed to defer to them. There are areas that are their prime responsibility, and there are areas that are our prime responsibility. Part of the modesty that the halacha expected from a woman is that she doesn't stand forth and go and read from the Torah. She wasn't even given that obligation. When it comes to Kiddush, so you asked, can a woman make Kiddush? Technically she could. It happens to be an area where people make a mistake. Sometimes they go too far in the other direction. The husband is on a business trip or he's visiting his parents, he's out of the country, and there's a child who's 10 years old, 11 years old, and the woman isn't comfortable making her own Kiddush. So she tells the kid, you make Kiddush. And the kid cannot make Kiddush for her. The fact that he's a man doesn't help. He's not yet bar mitzvah. She's biblically obligated to make Kiddush and the child isn't. Technically, Zohar v'shomar, technically it would seem at first glance, I never looked into the question until you asked it now, but without remembering all the details, as far as I remember, technically, halachically, a woman could make Kiddush to be motzi a man because she's as biblically obligated as he. There's room to discuss it and look into it a little bit more because it's not exactly accurate what I'm saying, but it's almost accurate and close enough that I think it's true halachically that she is biblically obligated as he and she can make Kiddush. But the halacha expected that, especially if it's a husband and wife, so the husband has certain responsibilities towards his wife. He is responsible for her well-being. He is responsible to verify halacha. If there's a halachic question of a pot that gets mixed up, she could call the rabbi. Sometimes people call me up and I say, could I talk to your wife? Because I know the guy always botches up the question. He gets this detail wrong, gets that detail wrong. I better hear it firsthand. I'll get a more accurate picture. He is responsible to make that phone call. Very often there are a lot of questions that arise in the house and the guy feels like telling his wife, you go call the rabbi. No, he should call. Sometimes he won't get the question right and then the rabbi will have to ask his wife. But technically it is his halachic responsibility to take care of the house just as he takes care of the house. From a physical perspective, he's responsible. He writes in the Ksuba, I'll take care of you. I'll ensure that you have the clothing you need. I'll ensure that I give you the time that a couple should have together. He's obligating himself to her. Nowhere in the Ksuba does it say what she's obligated to him. It says what he's obligated to her. And that's a part of the relationship here where, yes, there are things that are intrinsic to marriage that a woman is obligated to do. But there's also that aspect where a man is taking her, so to speak, under his wing. Not in a derogatory way, but when you're dividing responsibility, he is responsible for her well-being. So that is included. The halachic aspect is also included. So we would expect that he would make Kiddush for the house. We would expect that she would want it too. Chazal say that a woman wants a husband to take care of her. She might be making a mint as a, you know, as a high-tech worker, and he's a guy learning in Kolo, and he's making close to nothing. It doesn't matter. She still wants to have the feeling that he's taken responsibility for her well-being. And the same is true also in, the halachic realm, where the halacha says that a father and a husband is responsible for the halachic running of the home. Not in a tyrannical way. He shouldn't be a tyrant and going telling everyone what to do. But in a good way, where the halacha says, even if, let's say, you heard Kiddush in shul, right? There was a Kiddush Shabbos morning in shul. You come home, you make Kiddush again. In other areas, we'd say, if you were Yotze, so then ideally they should hear from someone who wasn't Yotze. But not when it comes to your family. When it comes to your family, being that it's your responsibility, the mitzvos of the house are your responsibility, so then that's why the halacha expects that the father will make Kiddush, etc. Why doesn't the wife make her own kiddush? You know, she's biblically obligated. Let's say a woman would call you up and say, you know, I don't know if I trust my husband. You know, maybe he doesn't have enough kavana. So there's a problem there, because it should be that she wants and he wants that he's taking that responsibility, and it's supposed to be a responsibility that's a caring responsibility, not taking control, but taking responsibility in that he cares for the halachic running of the house, and it's his responsibility to make kiddush for the house.
Well, what about in a situation like I was in, where there's no husband? It's a baalat habayit who has her own household and she invites guests.
So then we run into a different realm, which is part of the tzniut that the halacha expects of a woman, is that she shouldn't want to go out there and sing Kiddush in front of all the men. Technically, halachically, there are situations where it would be permissible. But we would expect, it's a question of midot, we would expect that that's something that she should prefer not to do, and she should ask one of the guests to do it. If she did it and you were there, so okay, you were Yotze. But is that the spirit of the law? No, that's not the spirit of the law. And again, it's a question of tzniut. It's a question of the modesty that we would want her to feel, that she would want to feel like something cherished. If you think about it, when you go to the Queen of England, you don't expect the Queen of England to go out there and make Kiddush on your behalf, even if she were Jewish. Even if she were Jewish. If you were dating a princess who was Jewish, you wouldn't think, hey, you make Kiddush for me, right? You pick up the tab. So if you viewed, if we would view, and we should view, a Jewish girl as someone who is cherished, like the Pasuk in Psalms describes her as Kol Kvuda Bas Melech, the daughter of a king, Pnima, out of honor for her, we don't expect her to be out in the streets doing the shopping. You do the shopping for her. Why should she deal with the lines and all that? So it's not biblically prohibited, but it's an approach. So the same thing here. Out of respect, out of reverence for her. That's the idea here.
Is the tzniut issue, is that what's also mentioned in the Gemara, the statement that I was made aware of if a woman makes kiddush for a man, something of the sort, that it's considered embarrassing?
So there the issue is where you have a husband and wife, and he's illiterate and she is literate. So the Talmud says, why didn't he go learn how to read? There, the Talmud says, woe to a person whose wife has to make blessings on his behalf. That's the discussion over there. Why didn't he get educated too? On this point?
Yeah. Is there anything that you would add or is different about the same situation but with Hamotzi?
On the surface, it's the same thing. Even though Hamotzi is rabbinic, there would be room to explore those Rishonim that learn that the Kal V'chomer from Hamotzi, from Birchas Hamazon, and it's a suffix whether women are biblically obligated in Birchas Hamazon, but we don't go with those Rishonim, so technically on the surface, it's the same thing. The Gemara and Brachos that we learn together learns a Kal V'chomer from benching to Birchas Hamotzi. Some Rishonim take that Kal V'chomer literally. Tosus on the spot says not. I'm saying according to those Rishonim that say yes, there would be room to discuss the difference. But being that halachically we don't go with those Rishonim, so that's why on the surface I would say, again, I don't have the books in front of me, but I think it would be the same.
Just in your question, to before you change the subject, is the person who does perhaps the zone also the person who's supposed to do prevention?
Hamotzi or Bechatam? Hamotzi?
Sorry, the person who does Hamotzi is supposed to be...
So, again, in Hamotzi, there's a little bit more room to discuss because the idea of Hamotzi is cutting up the bread, divining the food. And there is this idea that the Talmud says that ideally the host should make the Hamotzi because we rely on the host to give out nicer portions. Meaning, if you make the Hamotzi, you'll be embarrassed to cut yourself a nicer portion. If the host is making Hamotzi, then... They're more apt to give out a nicer portion. So that's why there's more room. If one wanted to push it, there would be more room for the host to make the hamotzi. Whereas benching, Chazal instituted a blessing thanking the host. So that's why ideally the guest is supposed to say benching, okay. To lead the benching.
Well, I didn't understand that. I never understood that. What does that blessing have to do with leading the benching?
So in the days of Chazal, the one who led benching was the only one who benched. Right. Everyone else was listening and answering amen.
Okay, but nowadays that we all say benching, so does it make
it? Would seem not, right? Yes. On this point...